Amaran Beit Bab Avraham, Schus Yagin Aleinu. So the Beis Avram, who is the grandfather of the Netivot Shalom, may his name be a merit. The Mishnah quotes the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Yom Tov Shal Rosh Hashanah Shechal Liot B'Shabbos. If Yontif of Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos Kodesh B'Mikdash, Hayu Tokin, if we were down by the Beis HaMikdash, we would blow the shofar, even on Shabbat. Aval, lo b'medina, not in the state, i.e. not outside of the Mikdash. Outside of the Mikdash, welcome.
Thank you.
L'chol ha-mitzvos, yesh chelek ha-machshava v'adibar, yesh ha-chelek ha-maisa b'foel. How do we understand this? By all the mitzvos, we have the thought of the mitzvah, the speech of the mitzvah, and the actual mitzvah. Okay? Now, before we get...
doing the speech of the mitzvah?
Right now, we are... hopefully, some of us are thinking, but most of us are definitely... I'm speaking, and you guys are listening. So we're doing the speech of the mitzvah.
The slonimer.
Now, even... I want to take a second to understand...
Whoa, black over green? Okay, sorry.
He's wild and crazy. I want to take a second to contemplate the question before we delve straight into the answer. What the Slonimer is trying to figure out is, how could it be that the Torah tells us to blow shofar, that blowing shofar is the greatest thing in the world for our soul, come the rabbis and say when Rosh Hashanah falls down on Shabbos, no shofar blowing. Why? Because you might come to carry. Like, there's an Erev here. What are we worried about? But we're going to miss a mitzvah d'oraisa that the Torah tells us to do? How do we understand that? I'm not asking on the level of how do the rabbis have the right to do that. I'm asking on the level of, like, how? Like, what does that mean? How can we miss out on the beautiful neshama awakenings that the shofar does for us just because it's Shabbos?
I mean, we do the same in a couple of weeks from now with the lulav and
right.
The etrog. We leave them at home. We don't bring them to show with us.
And on Hanami, but there it's less... I guess you're right, because you got seven more days of lulav, so you don't feel it as much.
What?
Here, it's only 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. It's just like,
and only the one day really counts as a deraisa.
Nachon. Right. But that's also true with lulav.
But that's so, true with
so
lulav,
the question, on an intellectual level, the question stands with lulav, too. But on an emotional level, you don't feel it.
They were also doing the Beis HaMikdash, if I'm not
yes,
incorrect.
Yes, that is also true. So let's see what the Slonimer says. And we can also hypothesize what we think. Let's first hear what he has to say. So apparently, our brain is associated with the Beis HaMikdash. Right? The Mikdash is the brain of the Jewish people. And the action is considered the rest of the of Israel. So like the brain, which is controlling everything of the Jewish people, is in the base of English. And the way to practically manifest that is the rest of Israel. Hasidically, Kabbalistically. Okay? And now we understand what we mean, that if Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos in the Mikdash, Hayu Toikin Avalov Medina, they would blow, but not in the Medina. What does that mean? Shim Nam Nam Bechelak Amaisa Bevoalo Hayu Toikin Beshovah Shabbos Kadosh. It's true that on a practical level, on a Medina level, on a state level, we didn't actually blow the shofar. Aval Komash Nogia Lechelak Mikdash. But on a Mikdash level, i.e. on a brain level, kol hakavanot v'inyanim hapnimim shel tkiyat ha-shofar noeg v'shayach gam b'Shabbos Kodesh. All of the spiritual work which happened on a regular Rosh Hashanah really happened on Shabbos Kodesh. You had a shofar blowing on Shabbos Kodesh. It was just, it happened without actually hearing the shofar. Somehow the Shabbos itself achieved that same shofar blowing on a brain level. And you know, heart's really a part of the brain. It's on both emotional and intellectual level. That's what his grandfather, the Beis Avraham, explains. Everybody with me so far? Mikdash, the brain. Behind him. Shelo batla tkiyas shofar b'Shabbos. Tkiyas shofar was not nullified on Shabbos. No batla. It was not nullified. Ela shekasher chal Rosh Hashanah b'Shabbos mitkayem inyan tkiyas shofar b'medina ilois yoter mi'chachol. Even on a higher level, on a spiritual level, a Shabbos is even more fulfilling the Indian of Shofar. Umerumad Roshi Tevas. And this is hinted in the Roshi Tevas. Roshi Tevas is like acronyms, the first letter of the words. Tiku b'chodesh Shofar b'chesel yom chaginu. Tiku b'chodesh Shofar, if you take the letters ba of chodesh bet, Shofar is Shin, Bet of Bechese, and Tuf of Tiku. What does it spell?
Shabbat.
Bishabbat. On Shabbos. So on Shabbos, when you experience a Shabbos of Rosh Hashanah, you're actually experiencing a shofar blowing. Now, let's take a break for a moment and ask ourselves, what does the Slonimer mean by that? In what way do we think the idea of shofar blowing somehow penetrates our consciousness, our brain,
I reviewed the Sikha Tes Zion and Sikha Zeron that we talked about on Shabbos.
So what does he say?
He talks about he starts with the value of screaming to Hashem, right? Of a tzaka, right? A type of scream.
Like Harlan.
And so he said that it was that it's a very lofty thing to scream out loud during davening. That's how he starts it. And then he goes out but it's even loftier to scream silently. And so it leaves you to think, okay, well, what's screaming silently? And then he describes it, and he said, it's where you scream, but even if someone was close to your mouth, they wouldn't hear a peep, right? So even somebody who's, I think it says literally, karov lepeh, like really close to your mouth, wouldn't hear a peep. And it says that the sound, instead of coming out of your mouth, out forward, it comes out straight up. And so into your head. So what does that kind of mean? I mean, we assume, I guess, we translate it, I would translate it as screaming while going through the motions with your lips, right? Of screaming and like, you know, with all the might, you know, but like having no sound escape from your mouth, you know, trying to visualize and hear the sound to the best of your ability in your head. And the reason that it's loftier is because there's an external thing about a scream, right? What's external about a scream? That the scream is out there. It's out there for everyone else, and it's not just within you and inside and kept to yourself between you and God. If you scream silently, however, you can get a similar benefit, at least according to the Sikha, you can get a similar
benefit. You get it out.
And you get out the same scream, and you receive a similar level of benefit, and possibly greater. It could even be greater. And on top of it, it removes that kind of like fake part. Like if I go out and I scream, you know, if I scream right here, like at least in the back of my head, I'm gonna be thinking, oh, like I'm screaming a little bit more. I don't know. I might scream more macho, like than I would have screamed otherwise, because you know I don't want to scream like a girl. Right, in the middle of a crowd. Or I might scream like and think, oh, what are they thinking about me? Or like, you know, so when you're really screaming silently, it can really come from your heart, and it can be just between you and God. And so it could even be on a deeper level. And maybe that's what it's coming to say about Shabbos. That the Shabbos could be, that your tefillahs could be like the shofar. right?
It's like a silent scream.
And it's and we're screaming in the same way, but it's a silent scream. It's not that external scream.
Wow.
It's an internal scream.
That's quite a chiddush. Quite a chiddush. Did you think of that now?
I mean, I thought about it while I was learning it today.
I'm contemplating. Wow.
I wasn't learning it today. I was reviewing it.
I find that so true in my own personal life. I have this debate.
I went over it, you know.
I have this debate sometimes. Like, when Hashem does miracles for me, I really like sharing them with people. And then we say every day in our Pesukei Zimra, Shir lo zamr lo hodio ba'amin niflotav, tell the world about the wonders of God. So my initial response is, wow, God gave me a miracle. Therefore, I certainly should share it with the world. Right, and hopefully bring them closer to Hashem through my story. And that's usually what I do. But then afterwards, I almost immediately feel like, why did I share that?
Ruined it for me.
Yeah, I feel like in a way, cheapens. It's almost like Hashem gave me a kiss. You know, in a quiet room where no one was watching. And I just screamed to the world about my kiss. Kind of takes away from like the specialness and that. You know, privacy.
You're an exhibitionist when it comes to miracles.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's true. That's sometimes how I feel. I feel like it a little bit takes away from the specialness once I bring it out to the world. I was relating to what you were talking about, the difference of doing a public thing and a private thing. Or I do see I'm a little bit of a public guy. But I do think it's really important. And then that's a very nice idea that on Shabbos, we're still experiencing that. That inner scream to Akash Baruch Hu,
that inner shofar,
but yeah. in a different type of way, in a more private type of way of doing that. Beautiful, beautiful idea. Do you have any other thoughts as to why or how Shabbos can achieve that level of whatever shofar is trying to achieve? If like if we were in yeshiva, I would have to ask now. First, we have to define what shofar does. And then we have to define what Shabbos does. And once we've defined both of these things, we can then put them together. But that would take a really long time.
If we're going that route, I can think of a different
one. Yeah, but... Any other thoughts? No, let's see what... Yeah, what are you going to say?
Well, if you take the three shofar blasts, you have the Tkiya, the Trua, and I forgot the third one.
Shvarim.
Shvarim. So if you think about the, well, obviously breaking, and then Trua is, I don't know what that means.
Trua means blowing, like a staccato.
Staccato. Okay, I was trying to think those concepts related to Shabbat.
Shvarim is seven blasts.
Mm.
It has to be in order to count.
So okay. I'll help you out there a little bit. So Tkiya is a straight blast. Shvarim is a broken blast. Trua is also a broken blast. A different, even like maybe... One is more like a cry like... And the other is... But they're both brokenness. But the way that we blow is always tkiya, like straight, broken, and then we end with a tkiya. And to me, that's kind of like Shabbos is like the tkiya. It's like it's all good, everything's clear, everything's simple, and then you got to go into the world, and you have to immerse yourself with rent and iPhones and broken pipes and balabiases and. I don't know, all sorts of crazy things. And then you got to somehow go back to Shabbos mode and bring all of that craziness into the world of Emunah of Shabbos Kodesh.
Singularity.
So, I don't know. You know, I'm just vibing off of your riff. Riffing off of your vibe. But yeah, there's definitely some Trua Shabbos connection. By the way, if we're talking about Trua Shabbos connections, only was the first time we say Zichron Trua. We mentioned this last year. What are we remembering? What remembrance is the essential remembrance? So everyone thinks it's the Akedah. Mm-hmm. But actually in Pshat, it's not the Akedah. What are we remembering on Rosh Hashanah?
The Torah was given.
And the Torah was given. And what was the Torah given? With a shofar blast?
And it's given on Shabbat.
On Shabbat. Very good. So there's another connection.
Another connection could be that shofar is dome le tefillah, right? It's compared to tefillah. And on Shabbos, there's a higher level of tefillah.
For sure. It's like breaking through to the other side of connection to Hashem. Almost to a place, it's interesting also, I'll note another point. We don't really ask for stuff, at least in the liturgy. We don't ask for very much on Rosh Hashanah. It's shocking. You would think it's all about, please God, give me this, please give me that, please. Right? That's what all of before Rosh Hashanah, all of after Rosh Hashanah is about. But on Rosh Hashanah itself, we'll give a little bit of a mention that it's the day of Din. But in the liturgy, it's mostly just about crowning God as the King. It's about like connecting to Hashem like... Yeah, it's like connecting to Hashem like he's like angels. We're not immersed in our own private world. We're immersed in just the world of like a neshama praising its master and reconnecting our soul, like realigning it with our King, and just God's the boss. And we're not in charge, and just drilling that consciousness into ourselves. So it's another like similar to Shabbos. Shabbos, we don't daven for things.
In case the world hasn't been showing that to us. Already that we're not in charge.
We're definitely not in charge, but we think we are. So, we need chops. Alright, enough of us. Let's hear what the Rebbe has to say. So the Rebbe says, like, Shabbos Kodesh. Yesh inyan titiku b'kod ha-shofar. Echen yoshabat b'mah shakata b'yoshalmi. It's written in Yoshalmi. The yalav shein tokim Shabbos midah is a shnei tuvim. We just mentioned one pasuk says, "Remember the blessed, the shrua." The other one says, "It should be a day of trua." Is it a day of trua? Is it a day of remembering the trua? On a Shabbos that falls out on Rosh Hashanah, we only remember that we blow the shofar. So that's the Yom Zichron trua. But on a regular Rosh Hashanah, it's Yom Trua. You guys got that? That Yerushalmi? Shabbos, remember, so because we don't blow the shofar. We just remember how. And that's when the Torah says Zichron Shua.
Is that when the Shemona Esrei says that?
It says that in the Torah, but we also quote it in Shemona Esrei. Shulam, Shulam, Rav Chaim. Delechayra Kashe, Sheyot Televizet, Shebeikar Parshiyot Amoyedas, Lonis Kar Ikar Mitzvah, Tekiyah Shofar, El Zichron Shua Bavad. Wait a second, the main time when God commands us to blow the shofar in the Torah, it doesn't even mention blowing the shofar. It says, remember the blowing of the shofar. Unless remembering the shofar, that too is the essence of the mitzvah. The essence of the mitzvah is that Shabbos when you can't blow the shofar. And you wish you could. And remember, in biblical times, they didn't blow shofar that year. There was no second day of Yom. Is that true? Is there ever a time when there wasn't a second day of Yom Tov?
Well, yeah, but it's hard
there
to know.
There was.
No, absolutely.
There was. So there were mamish times, and they would just be like, oh, this is the year where we... Remember last year when we blew the shofar? But this year we didn't. That's like a crazy thing.
Is that true, though? Or did they already have it in place that... outside of the land of Israel, outside of Eretz Israel, that they blew shofar, that they had second day Yantiv, right? And inside the land of Israel, they pretty much all do Aliyat HaRegel.
In Yerushalayim, there were times when they would only do one day of Yantiv.
No, I know.
Dafkin, according to at least... I have to think, I have to re-look into this. So
Aliyat HaRegel wouldn't be for Rosh Hashanah anyway. It would be, Sukkot.
True.
I know, it's hard to know when this tradition / custom came about. Because,
We know that once we were, the Gemara discusses when the Bezdin was going out, then...
Yeah. Right. At what point it's called, like, one long day?
Nachon, Yom Arich. Yeah, I have to relearn it again. The Zrat
Hashem.
Yeah, I don't know. But forget about the history for a second. In its essence...
It could be.
it's a day of remembering the Truah. It could be a day of remembering the Truah, not actually blowing the shofar.
It's in the Tefillah,
in the Shofar, in the Musaf. In the Musaf and in the Torah. The Torah says that Yom Zer, most of it is just quoting the Torah. Bilo guva mitzvah, b'parshas korbanos nemra, elik amor shezichron truma uguf. And that, ubir enya. And so now let's explain why it's so fundamental to remember the blowing, but not actually do the blowing. Al pianis karlamayla, sheish b'shofar beit enyan under Rosh Hashanah. Shofar alludes to the two ideas of Rosh Hashanah. Enyan yom adin, the first is that it's a judgment day. Shemit orerim bo kitrugim, we awaken the accusations. Vaidea shofar nimtakin adinim, but the shofar somehow sweetens the judgments. Beit inin hitchad shesam lucha, we're renewing the kingship. We're blowing do 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 do. That's the shofar blowing. The kenizkar v'tamei tkiyatz shofar l'rasag, as the Rabbeinu Sadia Gaon explains in his famous 10 reasons why we blow shofar, shu'al derech malchut da'ara, like a king down here, shebe'et akhtarat ha'melech toikim b'shofar, when you give the king the kingship, you blow the shofar. The mekevan sh'rosh Hashanah yom itchadshus b'riya, al kenu gam yom itchadshus hakhtarat malchuto yitbarach al b'riya. So since God created the world on Rosh Hashanah, it's also the day that Hashem renews His creation of the world. He decides He's going to recreate the world, and that therefore He rejudges the world and asks Himself, hey, does Mori align with my new vision of what the world's going to be like? And that's why, since it's a day of recreation, it's also a day of judgment. And we're trying to plug ourselves in to that vision of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and say, Hashem, okay, I got a plan now. I'm going to be part of your thing. Now on Shabbos Kodesh, there's no negative forces. On Shabbos, it's all good. All the negative stuff runs away. There's no such thing as judgments. There's no din. Mimela, that's why there's no chatat offering on Shabbos. Mimela ein tzrichim l'shofar lamtakam. And therefore, so let's plug it in, Chevra. What's the first goal of blowing shofar?
For those who don't know, we're singing the song we're going to be singing for the next month. Shana, Kippur, Sukkot. At the Barchanu, God chose us from all the nations. Loved us, lifted us up, sanctified us.
Like we said, it's the day that we were given the Torah. God chose us. He chose us from all the other nations.
Absolutely. Good. So let's get back for a second. So we said that according to the Kabbalah, we're getting judged, but what's the sweetening of the judgment? When do we sweeten the judgment, my friends? When we hear the shofar. So normally we need to sweeten the judgments, but when don't we need to sweeten the judgments? On Shabbos, because there is no judgments on Shabbos. Pretty good. On Shabbos, our thought and our speech is like the action. Right? And on Shabbos, we just think about things, and it's like it actually happened. So we don't even have to blow the shofar. We just remember blowing the shofar, and it's like we actually blew the shofar. If you really want, you can do this. But you don't even have to. You just remember. As we found, that the pasuk says, Parshus v'shamru b'nei Yisrael lasot et haShabbat. Af sheim b'Shabbos mitzvahs ma'asiyat. Even though on Shabbos you don't have practical mitzvahs, v'chol mitzvahs ma'ichshav b'dibur k'tichtiv. And all the mitzvahs are just in thought and action. K'tichtiv zachar yom haShabbat kacho. Zachreya b'dvarim, remember through matters. L'kach kol inyanei tekiyei shofar before sheish b'mot achol yicholim itkeyem b'Shabbos kodesh aydei machshav b'dibur. So again, it's lasot et haShabbat. Just by thinking about it, speaking about it, learning about it, it's like you actually did it. It's like you lasot et haShabbat and you blew the shofar. V'aktarat amlucha mitkayemet b'Shabbos kodesh. And of course, the second Indian of blowing the shofar, we said, was to give the king a crown. To give him a crown, right? The keter. And how does that relate to Shabbos kodesh? We also crown HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Shabbos Kodesh. What do you think? Yes or no, Maury? 50% shot?
I would say yes, we do. Yes, we
ding,
do.
Ding, ding. He is a genius. Yesh lanu avatiach. Zat Hashem. We make Hashem the king on Shabbos Kodesh. How do we make Hashem the king on Shabbos Kodesh? What do we do to make Hashem the king? On a push-up shot level. What do we do that declares God the king by nature of keeping the Sabbath day?
Well, that's the testimony he created the world.
How is it a testimony? How do we testify? You're right. That is why we keep Shabbos. I'm just asking on a practical level, how by us keeping Shabbos do we testify?
Because we said, it's like
saying, now he's the king.
Well, our actions don't really mean anything. So like it's Shabbat, we're not really doing actions.
We're not doing any actions. It's like Hashem, we're not doing anything. It's all upon you. Very nice. Okay.
Well, we welcome in the Shabbat Malkata, right? Shabbos queen.
Right.
And if Shabbos is the queen, then Hashem is the king.
Super cute.
And there's also the I think there's a Bechinas Keter in terms of Shabbos, like Kabbalistically. And further than
and
that,
and what does that mean? What does it mean, Bechinas Keter?
Right? You went upon Eidos, and
you're and testifying
there's
that
a, there's a halacha that we have to give edus on Shabbos, and it's particularly to guys who would be kosher le'edus, right? Who would otherwise be allowed to testify in a religious court, and it's best to do it, you know, often after you daven Shemoneh Esrei with a minyan, right? Immediately following, there's a testification of God, and a testification of God's malchus and the Shabbos.
Testify.
Right, because it's very common, like, let's say your Shemoneh Esrei is a little too long and you miss it, to try to go find someone else.
Yeah, so.
Tell me about it.
I'll tell you.
It's a good sign, right? Because
I'll tell you. I don't know.
Minute on Gebur Shabbos.
I think I missed. I missed it once kind of recently. I was in quarantine.
Oh, and
I sat about 2 hours on my porch trying to find a Jew from the hotel yelling out like, hey, let's testify.
Testimony, Lord.
Nobody would do it with me.
Ouch, that's rough. I would just say for the sake of clarity, it's a chumrah. You don't actually have to do it. The Chazanish points that out.
Right.
It's a nice chumrah. It's a fun chumrah. I love doing it. I do it outside. I don't think I've had a davening that I haven't missed doing with the tzibur, but it's a chumrah, so don't get too worried. But let's just, again, review.
You don't think you've had a davening where you haven't missed it?
That's right.
I do it with other people. I rarely make it with the tzibur. I generally end up doing it with
It's much more fun to do it on your personal testification.
Or over Kiddush with whoever's making Kiddush. I try to.
That works too.
I don't mean to say it the rude way that our actions don't mean anything. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to put it out there. Because it's. I mean, our actions mean stuff, but God controls the world. We're talking about this.
And I think that's kind of the point. So you guys are saying on an action level, we say things in our liturgy, like v'yichulu, which testify that God is the king. Right, that God is the king over the heavens and earth.
Right, that God created
everything.
He created everything. He's the God of everything. And that, on its own, is a testification of God's kingship, because we're mentioning.
We're manifesting. We're putting it out there through our speech.
Yeah.
I also think we put it out there by our lack of action. And just to... And Erev Shabbos in my camp, Camp Nagila, we would always watch the same silly video. Maybe you've seen it. It's very cute. You have all these people who have on their heads, and it's a cartoon, their jobs. This one's like a computer, this one has a guitar. And they're walking around all day, and everyone's a guitar and this and that. And then Shabbos comes, and they melt into people. So what happens on Shabbos? We put away our job, we put away our phones, we put away whatever's bothering us. We put away everything, and we just say, you know what, Hashem, you're in charge. You're the boss. Right? What's the S? Like, I'll tell you, when I was writing a book, so like, the most annoying thing about it is I can never...
God also rests on Shabbos.
True. But hold on, we'll get to that in a second.
He also doesn't create on Shabbos, in theory.
He doesn't. That's up to him. He's a king. But that's the point. We're being mamlechem as the king by refraining from taking action, which frees us to enjoy what we have. Because when I'm writing that book, I don't have time to read that book and enjoy that book, because I'm always in the process of analyzing and changing it. That's the 6 days of the week. Always like, oh, what do I do now? What do I do now? How do I make the world a better place? How do I do a mitzvah? But then Shabbos, we give God the kingship. We say, Hashem, you're the king. We're not in charge. You're the boss. We're going to enjoy this beautiful world right now. And that's Shabbos, in my opinion, through our actions, through our speech. And apparently that's shofar too, where we're declaring over and over and over and over, Hashem melech, Hashem malach, Hashem yimloch, le'olam ped. Speaking of which, let's take a song break. Do you guys